My view of this test is a quantified pathology examination. Fundamentally, that's what it is. And it could level the playing field for patients treated in many, many hospitals around the country with different pathologists reviewing their material, because in a certain way, what the Oncotype DX does is put a number on the pathology result, and that is a useful innovation. The second thing, of course, as everybody knows, is it's heavily dependent on HER2 status and ER status, among other gene sets that it looks at. The issue that I think we have to recognize is that a very high recurrence score in the patients who have been studied clearly identifies a subset of patients who are very likely to benefit when chemotherapy is added to already present hormone therapy. At the same time, it's important to emphasize, I think, that for those patients who have intermediate and especially low recurrence scores, the confidence intervals right now are somewhat wide. And therefore, one cannot exclude the possibility of a chemotherapy benefit even in patients with lower intermediate recurrence scores based on the available data right now. So this brings me back to how we would use the test. And from my perspective, you use the test in the clinical context where it's going to help you make a decision. For example, if a patient comes to me who I would ordinarily want to give chemotherapy to, I'm already convinced because the patient has an ER-positive breast cancer, but tumors above a centimeter in size. And the patient says, I don't want chemotherapy unless you do something more to convince me. I'm not convinced based on the available data right now that I really need to get chemotherapy. So, for example, a 32-year-old who's worried about fertility is already committed to 5 years of tamoxifen and says, you really need to convince me. I see a role for the test in that setting because the patient's already on the no side of that equation. So if I get a lower intermediate score for that patient, I may not have changed her mind. But if I get a high score, I have evidence to go to her to say, yes, you don't want chemotherapy, I understand that, but you're in the subset of patients where we have pretty good evidence with a tight confidence interval that you'll benefit from chemotherapy. And so that kind of thinking is what I like to see go into applications of that test. It is not the case, in my opinion, that you would necessarily send this test off in every single patient. You need to know what you're going to do with the results.
I think the finding and the second presentation of the data was one of the most interesting things in clinical research in a long, long time, where they showed that in that 25% of patients with the high recurrence score, not only did they have a high recurrence score, but they had a dramatic effect of chemotherapy, and it was kind of older type chemotherapy that we're not even using anymore.
Well, that's exactly right. It was CMF or MF. It was a really impressive result, and at the same time, I have to point out that in a large measure, it was consistent with other data that we've recently seen using lower technology approaches. For example, at that same San Antonio meeting last year, when Kathy Albain presented the subset analysis, or rather the retrospective analysis of the SWOG study 8814 that looked at tamoxifen alone or with CAF, you'll recall that that was exclusively ER-positive patients. They were node-positive, so higher risk. But in that study, in general, adding chemotherapy to tamoxifen showed a benefit. And what's interesting about it is that when they went back and looked at a carefully done, centrally performed estrogen receptor analysis, they showed the benefit of chemo was in the lower intermediate ER-positive patients, not so much in the ER-strongly positive. I'm just saying that may all be consistent. So what's going on here is that blanket statement that chemo is ineffective in ER-positives is clearly untrue. And the Oncotype, among other technologies right now, may be one of the better ways to separate the wheat from the chaff.
And I guess even if you look at the Oncotype, even though all the patients were, quote, ER-positive, I believe the level of ER positivity was greater in the good-risk patients. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, they've shown that. In fact, one of the interesting things as a side note about this is that ER testing across pathology labs in the United States is relatively uneven. And again, I was sort of alluding to this before, but to the degree that the Oncotype test provides a consistent ER result, it may be a more accurate way of gaining this information, and I think that's an interesting use of this technology. One of the reasons I'm so excited about the test is the fact that it's able to take all this paraffin-embedded tissue, where we already know the outcomes of patients, and really convert this into useful data for us. It accelerates the development of genomic-based analyses and therapies, I think, as opposed to getting fresh frozen material and gathering new patients and then seeing how they do for the next decade.
Yeah, I mean, it really was fascinating. And they had the NSABP year after year cranking out these randomized studies, doing an excellent job of record keeping, et cetera. And yeah, maybe some of the questions that were asked, you know, were not so exciting. But now, through this technology, we go back and learn things from the same trials that are paradigm-breaking.
Exactly.